We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago Sports Talk.
We go ahead.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Major League Baseball last year had $10.8 billion in revenue. There's a ton of money out there to be made and to be distributed. And you have a guy in Mike Trout who, unlike Bryce Harper was as much about the brand as he was the baseball. He was a guy that, with due respect to his talents, and he's a tremendous talent, but Mike Trout's accomplishments far exceed Bryce Harper's. You look at what he has done, and he's only 27 years old. He's been the MVP twice. He's been an All-Star 7 times, Rookie of the Year, 6-time Silver Slugger. This is a guy who is the best player in the game. Because he has a low profile, he could walk down and pass a lot of people anonymously, and you might not recognize him, and you might not see him on the commercials nationally, but he is worthy of being the highest paid player in baseball.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
I was really hoping that Yu Darvish was just going to be a guy that you plugged in and didn't have to worry about. I was kind of looking forward to the idea that we weren't getting on a roller coaster ride, and here we are. It's one thing after another. There's never anything easy with Yu Darvish. My level of concern is high because I think that Yu is the kind of guy that's got to be perfect to pitch. It's disappointing, frankly. Pitchers have blisters all the time, but blisters end up being big problems for pitchers. This is nothing compared to the kind of issues that he's had, but it's something, and I don't want anything.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So the baseball world is all a Twitter with Mike Trout getting a 12-year, $430 million deal, potentially $430 million deal that will keep him in good stead for, what is it?
You think?
Till roughly age 40, right?
Yeah. Like
38, 39. And again, my only problem with the contract, I love the guy. I think he's a great player. I just wonder, are they going to wait now until the Pujols money comes off the books? That's 3 more years before they start investing again in that team. I mean,
I doubt it.
What's the path to a title for him? Those are the questions that you have to ask, even if you're not an Anaheim fan. Just something you wonder about, as you wonder Chris Bryant would like that kind of a contract,
you know what, though,
to remain a Cub.
With due respect, I think it's a good point, but if you didn't have him locked up and you started to build around him,
right,
the question would be, you'd say it would be lingering, how are you going to lock up the core of this team, the piece that you need for everyone else to function and work?
I understand what you're saying, but David, it's not like, last I checked, they don't have this minor league system that is unbeatable. They don't have like a bunch of guys on the way. They have Mike Trout. They've got some, you know, they got Ohtani. They have some pieces, don't get me wrong, but they don't have championship caliber pieces. And they don't seem to have a team that is going to be competing year in and year out. He's been twice an MVP, 4 times a runner-up to MVP. And that's gotten them exactly where?
He hasn't won a playoff game.
Well,
it's a fair point.
I just wonder.
I also do think, though, you do have
I wonder what the path forward is.
You don't have the minor league system, but you do have an owner that's motivated to win and not afraid to spend.
Yeah, but he's spent unwisely. Mm-hmm. They have not done a wonderful job with a lot. Maybe that's why it's good that they've invested all their money in Trout. Now they can try to find other avenues to build around him. Again, I don't think anyone in Chicago gets worked up about it. We mentioned Yu Darvish. He left the game with a blister in his throwing hand, didn't notice it until his last pitch, and now he's pointed it out, and he showed it to everyone, and he has a little bit of an issue. It's just a little bit of an issue, and they're going to laser the thing, and they'll cream it up.
He laughed it off.
Laser and cream.
So you can laugh it off nervously if you wish.
Yes.
That's okay.
I need some laser cream.
It's Hugh Darvish. Nothing ever bad happens with Hugh Darvish and injuries.
Shaved in a few days. I got to get some of that laser cream going. Okay. How about, you want some good news? I'll give you some good news. The good news is that the Bears are in a pretty good stead. They've got a bunch of guys working out together, and that's always. Whenever you hear the quarterbacks throwing to receivers, I believe that means the championship is forthcoming. But meanwhile, the rest of the division is getting kind of crazy. How about the Packers? The Clay Matthews has now signed with the Los Angeles Rams. That's what you do. The former Packer receiver Randall Cobb is now a Dallas Cowboy. That's what you do. And it's curious to me that we've seen so many guys kind of depart Green Bay. It's obvious they're in the midst of a complete rebuild, right? Now they've added some defensive players, but that's a different team. It's going to look a lot different. And they didn't, it's not like they went out and really, they got the quarterback. They got the inexperienced coach.
Well, they're always going to have the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. But when you see Randall Cobb and you see Clay Matthews leave Green Bay, and those are not two guys who are players that are as good as they used to be. They have aged, and certainly the next season you'll see some of that. But it's still, those are two players that have ruined many a Sunday for Bears fans. And when you see them Green Bay, it sort of just reminds you, it's symbolic of the changing of the guard in the division.
Good riddance to them.
Good riddance to them, yeah. I mean, from a Bears perspective, yeah, because Clay Matthews was a dynamic player for a lot of years in Green Bay. Randall Cobb, he had some huge catches against the Bears. So those two guys can't get out of town soon enough.
The Raiders have signed Vontaze Burfict, if ever there was a player who belonged with the Raiders, right? We always think of the Raiders as, I know it's a long sort of a image from years ago, but they're kind of the just win baby team. They don't
He's
care.
The rebel he's you always imagine in
he's
silver
the dirty
and black.
Player. Yeah. He might be the dirtiest player in the league.
Well, and think about last year. One of his dirty plays, one of his dirty hits was against his new teammate, Antonio Brown.
That's right.
They have a long history that they say, okay, bygones are bygones. Let's wait and see. John Gruden just invited himself many headaches.
That's good, though. You want people taking off at each other in camp because that gets everyone else fired up. Your guy, Robert Kraft, your guy, offered a plea deal where the state would drop charges and...
What? That story has a happy ending?
Oh boy, here we go. Is that video coming out? And how will the league respond?
Let's hope not. TMZ.
Wow. If there were ever a video that I would never want to see.
Yeah, finally, at long last, we found a genre of film that Kevin wants to avoid.
That's it.
You finally found the one.
Found the one. That's a bridge too far.
Look away.
Yeah, I'd say in a big way. Loyola ended their season sad. The Final Four apparently officially over now. They're eliminated from the NIT. That is a great 2-year run for the Ramblers to get to the NCAAs, to get to the NIT. A 70-61 loss to Creighton. That's the end of the college playing careers of Clayton Custer and Marcus Towns.
Two guys who really had terrific college careers.
No question.
Two guys who epitomized everything you want a student-athlete in the ideal sense to represent. They were two great Loyola legends.
And you've been trying to get rid of Porter Moser now for a while.
I have not.
And Eli was attempting to do it during that segment.
Well, Eli had some interesting information, or at least scuttlebutt, speculation.
Rumor. Innuendo.
Porter Moser is going to be a guy whose name comes up on coaching lists like Texas A&M, like Nebraska.
Let's hope he comes up on recruiting lists and players want to come play for.
I'm not trying to get rid of a guy that fits well in Chicago at Loyola.
You're virtually desperate to get rid of him, and you want Brian Mullins taking that SIU
Your reaction to that whole Nebraska coaching search has been fascinating to me. Like, Fred Hoiberg got you all in a tizzy, and now the mention of possibly Porter Moser being on the list.
I can't
wait till they hire somebody.
It's 9-7 in the seventh, Seattle over Oakland. So if you're going to push my buttons, I'm pushing yours. That, of course, opening day in Japan.
That bugs me.
And America. Opening day for America in Japan.
It's spring training. It's 9-7.
Of course, has been taken out, and the belief is that he will not be returning.
It's not even officially.
You're also upset because it's 9-7. It's too many runs. I prefer a pitcher's duel.
Yeah,
Kevin, they're not ready for the season to start. They need another week. Everybody else gets another week. They're throwing batting practice in Tokyo.
312. Hold on, sorry.
644-67-67.
Can you imagine the complaints from the Cubs if they had to start in Tokyo, Japan? After all the crying and the moaning last season about the schedule. Wow. Can you imagine?
Yeah, if things had worked out better with their Japanese player, then maybe they would be the team that was opening.
Ooh.
This connection. This is just a bow to Ichiro, I believe.
It's an exhibition.
If I'm not mistaken. No, it's not. It counts. John is in Joliet. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. First of all, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning because I knew they were playing, but I thought it was an exhibition. I had no idea this was for real.
Oh, this one counts.
What is it that they're just not wanting to publicize this? Or
they did in Japan. It's a big story. Ichiro, at the tender age of 45, playing in Japan, probably a swan song. Didn't he retire?
And hit 0.95 in spring training.
Yeah, he did not hit very well.
Well, the reason why I was really calling was, I'm another one. I'm a 56-year-old guy and never seen Mike Trout play one inning. And I feel bad because, you know, the guy is an awesome ball player.
You've seen him on TV, but you've never been
in person, John.
Is that what you mean?
I've never watched a game of his. I'm serious. And I feel bad because there's a lot of games that I don't know if it's just us guys at the age of 50 watch baseball differently, but I think I watched more sports or more highlights and stuff when my kids were playing. And, you know, you're getting up, you're hustle and bustle, and, you know, I don't know. I feel bad.
You don't see a lot of the late night games. I gotcha. You know, it's interesting, John, because that was Dustin's argument about why Trout shouldn't be the highest paid player, because he doesn't get featured enough. And he, you know, we heard Rob Manfred come out and say that that Mike Trout, it needs to be promoted more, and he almost blamed Trout for not being kind of personality.
He essentially did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you could say that perhaps we were talking about a guy that should be promoting other things.
John, you can watch Mike Trout at Wrigley Field April 12th to the 14th when they come to town to play the Cubs. He'll be the one launching pitches onto Waveland Avenue.
He'll be the one staying in the nicest hotel room,
I think so.
312-644-6767. We will get to your calls. I know a lot of people want to check in. We'll do that next. Molly and on the score.
Turn out the lights. The party is over.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score. It is a glorious day in the fine city of Chicago. The sun should be rising soon. The
sun will be up soon.
So the sun will come up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Bet your bottom dollar.
I bet
tomorrow,
you will.
There'll be sun.
It's already up in Tokyo where they're playing baseball.
That's right.
It's opening day. Happy Major League Baseball opening day.
Happy Mike Trout Day.
Happy Mike Trout Day.
Happy spring. It's spring. It's first day of spring.
Well, it's officially spring later today.
Today, I hear the robins sing.
It's still technically winter until like 4:48, did they say? Is that what it is?
Technically winter. Let's get to Jeff. Jeff is in Bolingbrook. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Happy spring. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
I actually got two questions for you guys. One's about Mike Trout. If he continues his run for another 8-10 years, can he be the best player ever with no rings? That's my first one. And then my second one is actually about the Bulls. If, let's say, the Bulls get the second pick in the draft or the third, and whoever's gets the first is open to trading it, would you be open to getting rid of, if it took Lauri Markkanen or maybe their pick next year as well, to get that number one pick and draft Zion, you know, maybe the Lakers, who know, you know, one of those random teams win it. Would you do that? I think yes, I would.
Jeff, that's easy to answer.
I love Lauri Markkanen, but I'm wondering what you think.
That's easy to answer. Jeff. The number one team overall, if they have that choice to pick Zion Williamson, is not trading it, period. There's no deal. There will be no deal for Zion Williamson. Whoever's drafting first overall is going to take him. You don't pass on a chance to draft a talent like that. You just don't. If you're the Lakers, if you're the Knicks, if you're the Cavs, if you're the Suns, you don't trade the pick.
That's fair.
It would almost be
I'm just trying
professional
to
professional negligence I mean, to do that.
You would need a reason, and by that I mean he's back for the tournament. What if he needs like micro knee surgery or something? Right?
Well, yeah, of course. Okay,
I'm just saying. I'm trying to come up with a scenario. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Unless it was like Greg Oden's coming in, and maybe you shouldn't take him. I mean, you know, famously, mm-hmm. the Bulls finished with the third pick in a draft. And they ended up getting Michael Jordan, the greatest player in the history of the game. And that was because Hakeem Olajuwon went off the board first that year. And then Portland picked second. And they had Clyde Drexler. And they thought, well, we don't want to duplicate that player. He's a really good player. Why don't we take Sam Bowie? You know, Sam Bowie, they for God's sake, they named a knife after him. He'll be great for us. And so he went second in that draft. And that allowed the Bulls to take Michael Jordan. So obviously, if you repicked that draft, Jordan would have gone ahead of Olajuwon, and then Olajuwon would have gone to Portland, and that might have been interesting. Or if Portland had taken Jordan, how would he and Drexler played together? I think brilliantly, and I just think that you can get caught up in that sort of thing. Get the best player you can get is the answer, and you're absolutely right. The best player in this draft is Zion Williamson, and Zion Williamson is going to perhaps win the NCAA tournament, and that will only add to the legend, right?
On the court, off the court, he's going to change a franchise, no doubt about it. As for the question about Mike Trout, he might not only be the best player who never won a ring if they don't win a championship, but he may be the best player, period, okay? No matter how many World Series he wins or doesn't win, Mike Trout is on a course. He's on the arc of being one of the best ever.
And how late was he selected?
He was 25th, I believe.
25th.
The White Sox picked Jared Mitchell instead.
Jared Mitchell was like the college player of the year, I believe, that year. Had a great tournament. And
great athlete.
Where was he? Was he at LSU?
He was the LSU, yeah.
And they had a fantastic, they had a great tournament, and he was good in it. And oh, boy.
But a lot of teams.
But you'd rather Mike Trout,
you
know, frankly.
You think?
But
yeah, again, a lot of teams.
The league passed. Pretty much passed on him, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Tom Brady argument. I mean, he went in the sixth round. You can go back and be like, oh, got passed over.
No, but I think the Brady argument is different, because the Brady argument is the chicken and egg argument. You know, did Belichick make Brady? Did Brady make Belichick? That's a different type of thing. And I think that sometimes it's about landing in the right system. Other times it's about a guy being so super talented, and the quarterback position is different, and Brady isn't near the athlete. Great athlete, don't get me wrong. He wouldn't still be playing and doing what he's doing. But what we're talking about, Mike Trout has got some Mickey Mantle to him, minus the knee injury and the booze.
He's got some Mickey Mantle to him. He's got some Willie Mays to him. He's got every great that you want to attach, and you see a trait in Mike Trout, it applies. He's that good. He is that good, and that's not an exaggeration, and that's not a response to him getting a $430 million contract. If he were getting this paid the same as he was yesterday or last year, you'd have the same response. This is one of the all-time great center fielders and all-time great outfielders.
Would he have gotten more on the open market?
Oh, that's probably yes. I mean, depending on when he would hit the open market, but you would have to think.
Two more years, right? Yeah, had he not signed this deal?
You have to think he'd be in the $500 million range on the open market, $500 million for a player. The Angels.
A lot of money for a player.
It's a lot of money, but it's $36 million per year. The Angels have a payroll that's the fifth highest in baseball. They aren't afraid to spend. They have an owner that's aggressive, is going to go out and spend. They haven't won a playoff game with Mike Trout.
Because they haven't spent the money very well.
They haven't
Albert
spent
Pujols
wisely.
Albert Pujols, train wreck, right? Josh Hamilton, train wreck. Who was the other? They signed another big contract, train wreck. And now this is a good one because we know who the guy is, and
I think
he's already
this is a
doing
good one.
It there.
I think this is the one that you look at and you think, I understand why you would be willing to risk paying him $36 million at the tail end of this contract because of what he's accomplished to this point. He's just entering his prime, as absurd as that sounds, for a guy who's been the MVP already twice. He's entering his prime.
You know, it's interesting because I did make a reference to an old NBA draft, and somebody checks in on the text line pointing out that things have changed a lot in the draft because you're usually taking guys that have only played a year in college, and the projection for them is a lot different than it would be. That is accurate. I mean, that, you know, Michael played 3 years of college basketball. was Elijah also 3 years, and Bowie 4 years because of the injuries. Charles Barkley was taken in that draft. He went fifth in that draft. He had played a lot of college basketball. John Stockton went 16th in that draft. These are Hall of Fame players that you look back on it and say, well, why wouldn't a guy be taken here or there? Oftentimes in modern drafting, you're looking at a lot of guys that that are you don't have as much information.
The projections.
Yes, they're all projections.
They're projections.
And I mean, Zion, in a lot of ways, is a projection, although I think he would have been a top lottery pick. I don't know if he's number one, but he certainly would have been based on his Twitter account and his dunking and all the rest of it.
Look at a guy like D'Angelo Russell, okay, from the Nets.
Yes.
Okay, was like he's 23 years old.
Right.
He was traded and discarded as almost like, oh, a bust, right?
Yes.
He scored 27 points in the fourth quarter last night. This is the guy who has come around and been the kind of player they thought that he was going to be coming out of Ohio State. He's 23.
He's only 23, Joe. What do you think of that?
Joe?
I think he's a great player.
Joe?
Who's that?
Me, Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To your point, David, just back to the Zion thing and how the number one or the team that gets the number one pick would never trade in a million years. Texter brings up if the Lakers get that pick and they want to trade maybe the number one pick for Anthony Davis. Does that change your mind a little bit? Because Anthony Davis, we already know what he is. He's top five player already. You add him to that Lakers team. Is that a scenario you could see?
I don't know what it would be in it for the Pelicans, though.
By the time that Zion reaches his peak, LeBron will be, you know,
gone.
Maybe not gone, but certainly past.
Is that realistic? Is that realistic? Would they give up? I mean, would that be?
No, I mean, it's a hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical. But, okay, maybe I should stay away from never or absolutes.
Yeah. Anthony Davis is going to leave New Orleans in a couple years regardless.
What if he had microfracture surgery and the Lakers got the number one pick?
Yeah, I'll stay away from absolutes, but to me, the idea is absurd that I would, if I had the number one overall pick with a chance to get this guy.
Well, if you believe this guy is a generational talent, then the idea is absurd.
And I believe he is a generational talent.
Pretty good.
Most people do.
He's no Mike Trout.
There's no Mike Trout.
I believe Eli has him eliminated from the tournament.
Belmont is going to advance. Rick Bird has had 804 career wins as a coach, but he's going to remember 805, maybe more than any of them, because he has just notched, in his 33 years of coaching, his first trip to the NCAA tournament as an at-large team, and he's won his first NCAA tournament game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we're delighted to welcome in Casey Stern, Turner Sports, and MLB radio host, and he joins us on the hotline this morning. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the $7,000 off Jeeps. Good morning. How are you,
morning,
Casey?
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Well, I got to tell you, there's so much going on and there's so much to talk to you about because obviously you're doing March Madness stuff, NBA TV, NBA on TNT. You do it all. But the big news today is with baseball, and obviously there is a massive, massive contract heading to Mike Trout, the best player in the game, gets paid like it, and this changes. I mean, we thought $330 million was a big deal. 12 years at $430 for Trout? Wow. That just shatters the ceiling, which we thought was just shattered.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the irony is, and I think, look, here's the thing. We always like comparables in 2019, the world we live in. In the NBA, which I cover, we do it with players present and past, right? LeBron, Michael Jordan, who's the GOAT, if you will, which to me is not a question. Clearly, it's the 2-3 that warrant back where you guys are. I think when you look in baseball, there's nothing to compare to Mike Trout. I mean, with no disrespect at all to Bryce Harper, who is a terrific player, and I understand he's been inconsistent. I get it. I think part of it has been injuries, and the highest of the hype, we've seen a great season out of him winning an MVP 3-4 years ago. But he's not Mike Trout. We're talking about a guy who's a top five finisher in the MVP 7 times. It's happened with Bryce Harper once. Mike Trout this year, for the first time, went 3 days in a row without getting on base. Think about that. He's been around 7 years. So we're talking about a guy who is in a place all by himself. In no other sport do we deal with something like that. And I actually think that the Angels got a pretty sweet deal here. Because remember, you've got 2 years that are already tied in. So it's 365. It's not 430. You know, teams and agents, what they do nowadays in all these sports, is they spin numbers to make the numbers look like they want you to think versus what they are. It's really 10 at 365 if you look at it, because it's an extension beyond the next two. But either way, when you look at what Pujols got paid at the height of the height when he was guaranteed the best in the game, what A-Rod got paid height at the height when he was guaranteed best in the game, and you look compared to other players at that time, percentage above what they got paid comparatively to everybody else, and I think the Angels made out pretty darn good getting only 435, if you will, for the 12 years.
I don't disagree, Casey. I think when you look at the value of the franchise in 10 years and the way that baseball revenues have increased in the last several, you make a good argument. He is going to be an affordable, reasonable contract by the end of it if he continues to produce even close to the level that he's been producing. The question is, though, people look at that and they say, okay, he's overpaid. He's not the huge superstar. He's not the kind of, you know, transcendent player you see in other sports. But I think that's maybe a product of just his personality, the Angels playing on the West Coast. What do you attribute it to?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, I've gotten to talk to him like a number of times. He's a really, he's a great kid. He's a family-oriented, look, the biggest news we've made out of Mike Trout was when he called him the Weather Channel, right? I mean, that's really what's gotten the most attention. It's sad. I mean, I remember watching the NFC Championship game with the Eagles, and they dropped the lower third at the bottom of the screen, and I think it wasn't to say, hey, Mike Trout, there was to say, hey, by the way, this is Mike Trout, because nobody knew who he was. So, look, I think from a play standpoint, when you're talking about what he's done, he's earned it on the field. And that's the thing that I thought was most interesting, guys, because, I mean, you guys know this. I mean, in covering sports, we've all watched how it's changed and the rhetoric has changed because of social media. And even though yesterday I was dealing with the tournament, obviously I was, you know, trying to fire away tweets and read and do all that as this happened yesterday morning. And I really didn't see anyone writing anything negative. Think about that just for a second. $435 million deal, right? We got a ton of money out there. Everybody hates everything nowadays. I mean, it literally is like, I always joke, like in the second Ghostbusters where all that ooze was going around Manhattan, and all that ooze is everywhere on social media about everything. No one said anything negative. That's how respected by even the media and the fans this guy's level of talent at the ultimate best on earth is. That's enough to get paid what he got paid.
Let's talk about the tournament. The games last night were a lot of fun. I thought the first game was just a good God, they came out, the Prairie View was shooting the heck out of it early, and then Fairleigh Dickinson came back. That was a real good basketball game. And, of course, in the second game, a lot of people like Belmont. A lot of people think that they can make a splash. And here we go again. We've got a couple of games tonight. St. John's Arizona State is cool because of the coaches, because everybody familiar with them.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you've got Mullen and Hurley, I mean, I did a, on the NBA side, I called it a Clipper game. Going back, that was 2 weeks ago, we were doing post-game, and he and Doc Rivers and Boylan both got ejected.
We
might have to get, like, some kind of a referee in a steel cage for these two tonight, because we're talking about two of the most intense competitors that we've ever seen. I can't wait for this. I mean, look, as a guy who, my grandfather, who passed a long time ago, went to St. John's. I grew up on Long Island. I didn't go there, but I mean, look, in the 80s, you know, Mark Jackson and Chris Mullen and Walter Berry and Gerald Glenn, I mean, those were teams in college basketball at the time. So to see what Mully's done with that program is so good. And Bobby's done a great job on his side, too, and I think that's going to be a fantastic game. And then the interesting thing is, and look, we don't try and kind of oversell it. We understand. I mean, there aren't a lot of people who did not go there and aren't alums that know much about North Dakota State or North Carolina Central. But I will tell you this, NC Central, this is their third consecutive year in the first four, and they're 0-2. So, and they've got a great personality in Lavelle Moten, who's their coach. So maybe instead of the hat trick, maybe they kind of pull it off and find a way to get in the dance. Unfortunately, Zion would be awaiting them, but we won't talk to about that yet.
Casey, that's I picked the upset of Duke in the first round here. So
yeah. That's such a good idea.
I think they're due.
Hey, you joke. I did post-game on TV. I was sitting there next to this. I thought Seth Davis was going to have a heart attack sitting next to him watching UMBC beat Virginia a year ago.
Oh, my God.
So,
that was great.
Who knows?
Well, Casey, whether it's Belmont from last night or the winner of tonight's game or somebody else, is there a double-digit seed that you see going and making an upset in the first round, somebody who we will remember and talk about when the weekend ends?
Yeah, I think there's a few. I mean, first of all, I mean, anybody who hasn't seen John Morant play better book in on that 12-5 game between Marquette and Murray State. Because, first of all, Marquette's had a terrific player.
Yep.
So Marquette, that is a great... Look, college basketball is about stars. You guys know this. I mean, stars and guards. That is a fantastic matchup in the West region. And I think, you know, Morant has a chance to be the best player in this draft in the NBA. He's probably going to be taking two, if not worse, three with Barrett in front of him. So there's a number of reasons to watch that, especially if you're a Bulls fan in that area and you're looking at the top picks. I think Seton Hall, even though... Yeah, everybody likes Wofford. I don't think anybody knows where it is. I think because it sounds like waffles, everybody likes it. I honestly, I'm really trying to figure it out. I do like food, and it's the morning when I get off the phone. I'm going to go have breakfast, so maybe that's what it is. But Seton Hall has a kid in Miles Powell, who's one of the best scorers in the country, and where they are situated at 10 with Wofford there, I think that's a 10-7 that probably goes the other way. If you're looking for something really kind of way out of left field, I think when you look at what we've gotten in the first four, we've had a team every single one of the 7 years win not only their game, but then get in and win another game. VCU, the first year, went all the way to the Final Four. I think Arizona State and St. John's, the winner of that team, is very capable of going ahead and knocking off Buffalo. And then I think even after that, maybe making a run. Both of those teams have a lot of talent. They're just very inconsistent. But I think the team in the first four this year that will win another game in the tourney will be the winner of that late game tonight.
Hmm. Oh, that's great. All righty. Great stuff, Casey. Thanks a ton.
Casey.
We've been watching. We got True programmed in. We've got all the Turner channels, and it's great to talk baseball, too, with you. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I'll forget all of your names by Sunday. And I'll tell you, you went into a war of attrition. There's not enough coffee. I'm going to go have some Wofford, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Always appreciate it.
Great stuff. That's Casey Stern, Turner Sports and MLB Radio host. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.